able to figure out today's topic throughout the liturgy and the song is obviously we are dealing with the Trinity today. And we're going to be looking at God's Word as contained in John's Gospel. And we need to understand that when John refers to the Word, he is referring to Jesus Christ. And so when he says, in the beginning was the Word, he means in the beginning was Jesus Christ. And so I'll be reading from St. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and then concluding with verse 14. And out of respect for the reading of the Gospel, I would invite all who are able to please rise. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. This is the Gospel of Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Well, today we are going to look at what is truly one of the most monumental, foundational, and critically important subjects in all of Christianity. This topic separates us from all other religions on the planet because this foundational belief is absolutely unique to Christianity. Only Christians believe in and accept the Holy Trinity. And so today we're going to look at what we as Christians believe about the very nature of God, which can be explained through the Holy Trinity. And of course, based upon the high number of you who told us that you just don't get it about the Trinity, I am very well aware of the fact that this doctrine, although completely foundational, so critically important, is also enormously confusing. And so let me just have a disclaimer right up front now, that after I finish today, if you still don't understand the Trinity, welcome to humanity, because I don't either. None of us do. That's why we call it a holy mystery. If we could understand it, it wouldn't be a mystery. And so as a holy mystery, we ultimately can accept it as truth, even if we can't fully understand it. And we never can, this side of the grave, fully understand it, because as mortals, we have no experience with things immortal. So we have nothing to draw upon to be able to make comparisons, to be able to make sense of this thing. And that's why St. Paul assures us that one day we will understand. Not right now. He says we're looking through a mirror dimly, but one day when we too become immortal, then it's going to be, I get it. Until then, that's where faith comes in, is accepting what we cannot understand ultimately. So, my task today is to explain something that I cannot understand to a group of people who cannot understand it. No problem. But really, should we expect anything less than when we're dealing with Almighty God? And I mean it. If we could fully understand God, then God's no bigger than we are, right? And that's not much of a God. How almighty could he be if we could wrap our tiny human mortal minds around him? But God is God, the Holy One, whose ways and thoughts are infinitely bigger and greater than ours. And so if this is the case, if we really can't ever really understand it, then it begs the question, why bother? Why try to understand it? What difference could it make? And so I want to say it makes all the difference in the world. Believing in the one true God, frankly, changes everything about our lives. Because believing in the one true God is a life-altering belief, not only for the life that is to come, but for the life right here and now. Because believing in the one true God gives us a power that is beyond our own, a power that can transform our lives, change our lives for the better right now. We don't have to wait until we die. We can experience the power of God right here and now. Now, in the most basic way, a belief in the one true God transforms and ultimately saves us. Jesus said himself, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him," didn't say whoever understands him, "whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So believing in the one true God gives us eternal life. But believing in the one true God also transforms our lives right here and now. The Bible says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person," right here and now, right? "The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ." So what difference does it make? All the difference in the world if you want to have life. So why should we believe in the Trinity? Because only the one true God can give us life, can save us. Only the one true God can transform our lives. And I keep hammering one true God because, friends, there are many gods in this world. But the Bible teaches us there is only one true God. Our culture will tell you different. But we need to embrace the Word of God as truth and not our culture as truth. Because the Word of God says, "The Lord alone is God, and there is no other." And the Bible says, "For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there's none like me." And because there's only one true God, as Jesus himself taught us, it is only by knowing, and that means becoming one with him. It is only by knowing the one true God that we can have eternal life. Jesus said this, "And this is the way to have eternal life." Now, these are the words of Jesus. "This is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth." So again, why is it important to believe in the Trinity? Because that is what gives us life, friends. Our belief in the one true God, the Holy Trinity, transforms our lives here and now, but also saves us and gives us eternal life. Now, the Trinity have always existed, and that's what John was trying to say. The Trinity did not begin when Jesus Christ was born, because Jesus Christ has always been. There's always been the Trinity, and they've always existed in the relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father has always been the Father of the Son. You can't be a father if you don't have a son or daughter. And the Son has always been the Son of the Father. And they have always been unified, made one by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And what this means is that the most basic fact about all of reality is loving relationship. Loving relationship is the foundation of everything. Before there was a world, there was loving relationship. There was family, the family of the triune God. And so when you get down to the absolute basic foundation of all reality, it's love. Everything has been built upon love. C.S. Lewis makes this point in his wonderful book, Mere Christianity. He writes, all sorts of people are fond of repeating the Christian statement that God is love, but they seem not to notice that the words God is love have no real meaning unless God contains at least two persons. Love is something that one person has for another person. If God was a single person, then before the world was made, he was not love. The fact that God is perfectly loving requires relationship. You can't have love out of a relationship. That's impossible. And of course, the opposite is true as well. The fact that God is relational requires that God is perfectly loving. And here's why. If God is the triune community, we know that God is love. Because you can't have three people existing for all eternity in a completely perfect, harmonious relationship if they don't have perfect love. It's not going to happen. Imagine existing for all eternity with the people you love the most. Even the people you love the most, you're going to fight. You're going to if you spend eternity together. But the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit never fight, never disagree, never are anything but perfectly unified because the Holy Trinity is perfectly loving. And so we know that God is love because God is Trinity. And we know that God is Trinity because God is love. So the Trinity is this perfect, loving relationship that has always existed. One God, but in three persons. And because the Trinity is one God, the three persons work completely as one in everything they do. Now, it's very interesting. The term Trinity is never used in the Bible. You won't find it in the Bible. But the Trinity itself is found all over the Bible. You will find the Trinity in the very first verses of Genesis, and you will see the Trinity all the way through the Bible into the last book, Revelation. In fact, the Trinity is actually revealed in the very first three verses of the Bible. God wanted to make sure we understand from the very beginning. Because the very opening words of the Bible, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, did you notice my emphasis? Did you notice the three persons of the Trinity in that passage? Let me read it again with little explanations. In the beginning, God the Father created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the waters, and the Holy Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, well, what did God say? God spoke his word, and his word is the word that John's gospel is talking about, Jesus Christ. And it is by his word that Genesis says and John says that all things were created. That's why the Bible says in the beginning the word already existed. The word was with God and the word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Do you see? Right there, the beginning of the Bible is the revelation of the Trinity. The Trinity brought creation into being. And of course, Jesus Christ continues to teach us about the Trinity after he became incarnate. The very last words Jesus said to us before he ascended into heaven. I don't know if you know it or not, in the liturgical calendar, today is Ascension Sunday. This is the day we celebrate Jesus ascending into heaven. But right before he ascended, Jesus said these very last words. The Bible says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in what? These are Jesus' words. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And we'll see in a moment, how is Jesus with us? I don't see him. Jesus is with us because the Holy Spirit is Jesus. And Jesus is with us through the Spirit. So the very crux of the doctrine of the Trinity is this. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Not three gods, but one God in three persons. The Blessed Trinity. Now, the Father is God, and there's literally hundreds of references to this truth in the Bible. But let one suffice. In 1 Corinthians, we read, For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us, meaning Christians, for us, there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there's but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. So we call the Father the first person of the triune God and the second person of the triune God, the Son, is God. And friends, this truth is what separates Christianity from all other religions in the world. There's hundreds of religions that accept a God. Only Christianity accepts that Jesus Christ is God. Jews do not believe this. Muslims do not believe this. Buddhists do not believe this. New Agers do not believe this. So when some well-meaning but enormously misinformed person tells you, oh, it's all the same God, we all worship the same God, no, we do not. No, we do not. No other religion on the planet worships Jesus Christ as God except Christianity. But this truth is critically important, and it's very clearly taught in the Bible. Jesus is not just a good man. Jesus is not just a good teacher. Jesus is not just a prophet. He is all those things. But Jesus Christ is God, co-equal and co-eternal with the Father, the second person of the Trinity. Again, our scripture lesson wants us to know that from the word go. John's very opening of his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And of course, Jesus himself told us plainly that he is God. He said, I and the Father are one. Jesus is very clear about this. The Bible is very clear about this. So we need to be very clear about this. Jesus Christ is God, the second person of the Trinity. And the third person of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is God. I can't tell you how many times I hear people talk about the Holy Spirit as an it. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is he. The Holy Spirit is God. When Jesus gathered his disciples together for the Last Supper, he told them that he was going away from them. But then he said, don't worry, I'm going to come back. But he said, when I come back, I'm not going to come back in the flesh like I am right now. I'm going to come back as the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is me, is what Jesus is saying. These are his words at the Last Supper. He said, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Now pay attention here. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him. Notice he's not calling the Spirit it. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And then get this, he goes immediately to I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. So Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come back to you. And he did at Pentecost, which is what we're celebrating next week, is the gift of the Holy Spirit when Jesus fulfilled his promise and came back to us as the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is three distinct persons, but one being, the triune God. And this truth makes all the difference in the world. This truth is literally what saves us. And this truth has always been critically important to the people of God. And that's why from the very beginning, from the very time of the apostles themselves, we have been affirming this truth of the Trinity together. It's called the Apostles' Creed. And I would invite all of you who are able to rise and let us say as one this critically important truth. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, three in one, we praise you and thank you for sharing yourself with us to not only give us eternal life, but to transform our life right here and right now. May we embrace you. May we accept you, even if we can't understand you. Because when we embrace you, that's when you begin to reveal yourself to us. And in time, we come to understand. We thank you, Holy God, for the love you share with us, which refuses to give up. And all this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.